Hurrah! Yeah, you're bit scratchy. I think so.
Why is it taking so long? That's weird.
Oh yeah, that's good. That's good.
Just the fiber has to get started, you know?
Slow
Get it
start.
Warmed up. Could I work for you?
Show me the money. Yes. Love it.
It's nice and warm.
He's wearing his own Kanban card. Nice merch.
A walking billboard today.
Hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going? Good. I sound funny. I've been a little sick this week. Just like
a little sicky.
Sinuses and fun stuff like that.
Joy. Now tell me, the big question is, are you awkwardly sitting beside someone recording a podcast?
Hi!
Should be, but had them go out in the shop to work on some Kanban cards, actually. Trying to find something for, you know, the first week is always so silly. Yeah, hired somebody, started Monday. It's been good. Just out working with Ricky right now, trying to work on some.
Okay.
I'm in like a weird fuzzy mode. What is going on here?
I told you you're fuzzy. Fuzzy man.
Oh, I see what you mean. There you go. Is that better?
Yeah.
I thought you meant like bitrate fuzzy.
No, not potato cam fuzzy.
No.
Just fuzzy fuzzy.
We have words for this.
Just Vaseline fuzzy.
Yeah, it's been good.
Exciting. Well done.
Yeah, it's in that phase where it's like helpful to have another person. They're, you know, the goal was to have them be the first person to communicate through Help Scout and phone calls. But there's the whole, like, you got to learn how to do all the things. How do you use the software? What's our tone? Done a really good job. On Tuesday, went through my intro to CNC course because they're not from the CNC world. And so that was funny to, like, watch somebody going through that right next to you. She said it was really helpful. I don't know. You could take that with a grain of salt, of course. So it's been good.
Yeah. Early days. Nice. Congrats. I wasn't sure if it had actually happened, but I kind of guessed that maybe that's what you're doing this week.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a lot to onboard someone.
Yeah. Things every time I hire somebody, I swear I have to update the like employee handbook thing. And there was like, you know, legislation that had changed for like state laws and stuff. And anyway, if I had like a full HR team, they probably would have been on top of that. But Ricky hadn't complained.
Cool.
How are you?
I am okay. Spent the night at the shop last night. Just came back in to get some things done. Having had a very kid-focused day yesterday, which was good, but meant that by 9 p.m. I was like, had this niggling list of things that I felt like I should have got done yesterday and hadn't, so I just came back to work.
Right. Those are fun.
It was good. It was nice, actually. It was a pretty chill evening, just making custom cartons with John's new box-making Python script and packing up the PS2. So it was quite satisfying.
I got to see someday. I got to see how this works, even if it's a private display.
A little scripty, yeah. Sure. There's a few little things I've been meaning to share, actually. Like, there's another one that he's made, which, like, basically does nesting on the pencil, on the PS1, on the pencil sharpener. So, like, if you're running.
Right.
You can plug in, like, custom dowel lengths, and it will nest them into the stick and then pull from the library of G-code and put in, like, standard lengths as filler, so you don't end up with any drop, as you would call it.
So then do you have to, like, manage that, or does it do it on its own?
No, it just does it and posts the G-code. Nice. Wow. That's cool.
That's crazy. I'm kidding. Tasty. And reliable. Can you, like, think about, like, going back to the days when you were handwriting it and, like, it would crash all the time, and now we can do this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
But yeah, I'm all right. I've had a decent week. It's kind of like despite all the terrible stuff happening in the world, our customer base continues to buy stuff, which just surprises me every week. I'm like, okay, yeah. There was another week of decent sales. Like, people haven't lost their confidence just yet.
Right.
Which is, yeah, I don't know. I don't trust it, but it's reassuring. And
yep.
Since I got Cursor to rebuild my Profit First spreadsheet 3 or 4 weeks ago, we've just had like a really solid run. And I think helped by, you know, novelty brain over here getting a new Profit First dashboard and telling myself, you know, as part of that rebuild, I was like, I've got to stick to 7 days. Like, stop dicking around, like, stretching 1 week's distribution and then compressing another one and, like, doing these weird off-axis distribution cycles. I got, like, kind of whipped myself into shape when I did that spreadsheet rebuild. I was like, no, just build it so you can't do that. Like, don't give yourself that flexibility in the sheet. And if you do, it'll make your life difficult. And so I've just been really disciplined about like hitting my 7 day cycle. It's like, it's Wednesday, cool. Let's do it. And I think that's meant that there's more back pressure. And so I've done a better job of making sure that we've hit target 3 weeks in a row now. And it's like, nice. Okay. Who would have thunk it?
There's something about it. You do it on Wednesdays now. Mm. I didn't know this. That's an interesting day. Why is it Wednesday?
Because I wanted to isolate it from the weekend. Previous, like, I've tried lots of different days now.
I see.
And an end of week target, just, I don't know, is okay. Initially, I had a target that was like Monday because it aligns with payrun and it's kind of, in many ways, it's more convenient to align with payrun every 2 weeks. But then I would just stress all weekend about having not hit target and end up sort of doing bitsy client-facing work over the weekend, trying to close out a job or something. So, it's kind of just trying to isolate it from the weekend, really. Put a bit of, like, work-life separation baked into the date of choice.
This is something that I knew that I absolutely had to, like, when you said you're stretching them out to do them at a certain time or, like, make it be different, you know, more optimal distribution, like that kind of hit me as like shocking. And it's, I would have absolutely done the same thing, but I knew when I was trying to set up Profit First in the beginning that one of my problems with the way I deal with banking, I guess, and just my brain is that if it's not automatic, I probably wouldn't be doing it right now. Like I probably wouldn't have still be doing Profit First. Like it just happens. And so like, I'm always trying to be like, get as much money into that income account by each week's end. But I just don't think about it. I mean, I think about it after when I'm like, oh, there's not enough money in that account now.
So Mercury, your bank just does it, whether you like it or not. Sort of, it'll just roll it out.
Yep.
That's cool.
It's like, there was a weird first few times where I swear like, something to do with like Shopify's incoming transfers would have, but they get there just after the distributions. And they did something with like distribution waiting until I don't know if it's like really intelligent where it's like waiting till my normal transfers come in, or they just shifted it back an hour or something.
Yeah.
And suddenly now it's like perfect. Like it always clears it to zero with all the incoming transfers that day. So not that there's so many, one or two. I have so many incoming transfers.
Darling, just one more from Shopify, please.
Just one more. Get it in there. I'm a little shocked by it. Our sales have been slower, and I don't know what to attribute that to. The fangs have slowed down, and Meta was telling me that it thinks that it's creative fatigue. Is what I think what it called it, and meaning like the people that have seen the ads are now tired of the ads, even though it's like not even showing it to them that many times. So it like wants more creative.
The ad agent in Meta is telling you that, is it?
Yeah, right.
It's just the universe telling you that you've hired, your OPEX has increased. So it's like, oh, we'll slow your ads down now.
Yes. Something sorry. Work less. Yes.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
It's not drastic, but it's definitely slower.
Yep. Yeah.
And sometimes, I don't know if you notice this too, it's like throughout a month, sometimes a month starts hot and then like it slows down on week three and you're like, what, why is it going to come back? You know, like, and then the next month's the opposite. By the end of the month, you've kind of averaged the same amount of income. It's like weird how there's no predicting it, but it's fairly consistent.
It's funny, since doing this weekly distribution cycle, I have no awareness of like how a month or even a quarter is tracking anymore. I'm just like, I'm all about the week. How's the week? And then I track that back to the full financial year, like year to date, financial year. But yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, like that one.
We did our quarterly tax thingy recently, which we have to report quarterly, and Laura was like, we finally finished it late at night, and Laura was doing the final little report to send to the tax office, and she was like, oh wow, we had a good quarter. I was like, did we? Okay. I had no idea. We're paying a lot of tax. Oh, I suppose that's good.
Right. Well, the thing that was making me sad last night as I was looking through numbers was like, we're spending more than we're taking, or like our net for each month, the last like 2 months at least, has been negative. And I was like, well, what the fuck? Like, sales have been good. You know, obviously we hadn't hired yet. And I was trying to go through in my brain, like, what am I spending money on that's like over and above? And I was like, well, we bought that saw. I was like, I bought that cardboard shredder, which actually the cardboard shredder doesn't even hit like the numbers that I was thinking of. So there's like a couple things. And just honestly, it's like when you sell a lot of stuff, then you have to repurchase. And sometimes when you repurchase inventory, like you buy more. When suddenly like you've overspent your cash flow, and it's like, that's so frustrating to like, now it feels like it's a negative, but reality was like, it was good sales last month. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I still feel like I'm doing something wrong.
I know what you mean. I'm always a bit sickened by the latest like monthly plywood bill. It's like, whoa, that's so much cash going out the door. But I guess that's good. Do you have many accounts that are on like a monthly credit? Many suppliers, I mean?
No. I kind of am kind of like fundamentally against that. I think because it feels like it'll be a big surprise to me.
Interesting.
So I like to pay them. Like, we have like Technics and our tooling vendor. We do pay net 30, but I'm keeping up on those. But I don't know. I don't like a lot of those. I can't.
It's good for cash flow, Justin. It's good for cash flow.
Yeah, but then it's just suddenly giant bills you got to pay that feel like they're forever. I don't know. My brain is weird about money.
Yeah, I mean, that's why my plywood bills are scary, I guess, because they're net 30. Yeah, I think most of our larger suppliers when I switched to Profit First, I actively went and chased the remaining suppliers that I didn't have accounts with to make sure that I did have an account with them. Interesting. Just for more flexibility in terms of when stuff's due. Because I was also, I suppose when I started that journey, I was like, oh, you're supposed to do it every 2 weeks. So I need to somehow align all my bills to fall on a fortnightly cycle, right, which isn't going to work. So I need that flexibility. So please, Ken has credit account.
On fortnights.
Yeah. But it does make the bills scarier, but I can't get over the fact that it helps cash flow wise as well.
My question would be, I think this is my self-protectionism, maybe pre-Profit First, but I feel like I would spend less wisely if I had net 30 on everything, or like accounts where they would send me one statement at the end of the month or whatever that system is, versus like paying in the moment on more things, do you think it makes you spend differently? Or are you spending this, like, can you even analyze that?
No, I don't think so. Fair question, though. Maybe. Would I have ordered? No, because we're just ordering what we need. Really? On those accounts, like, they're all sort of critical material accounts and hardware, and we're not really overspending. The only one where maybe would be a bit of a maybe or a yes to your question would be Hayfully, where we buy our, like, hinges and hardware and stuff, and they give us an absurd amount of time. Like, if you order early in the month.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Hear that coffee, folks? Mm. Sounded good. Like, if I order $500 worth of hinges on the 1st of April, I've pretty much got 2 months to pay that.
Oh, because it bills on a monthly.
Because it bills on the following month. And so, like, jeez. Sometimes I have a bit of a sense when I'm ordering from them of, like, oh, this is free for 2 months. It's like, not so much, but yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Maybe it's just different. Not that I've ever had one of these, but it's different than having, like, a bar bill where you're like, well, I don't have to pay for this for another month, so I'm just going to get another beer tonight, you know? Like,
just put it on the tab.
A little different consumption than hinges. I'm going to drink another hinge tonight.
Justin's getting unhinged.
They're soft closing, though, so don't worry about it.
Of course. Hydraulic soft close.
So I had a good, somewhat emotional moment last week after 577 days of working on Airshop. We had our first subscription payment.
Yay!
And I was like, waiting and waiting, you know, like, emotion, like, you know, like, you just have that feeling of, like, wanting to get to that point, or, like, thinking about it a year and a half in, or, you know, 6 months in, of, like, God, it feels so nice when you, like, start to get paid for something like this. And, you know, even now I don't really have that feeling anymore, but
yeah,
you know, it's kind of gone. And now I'm like, well, I need more subscription, you know, more real. You got to make this make a viable sense now. Like, most of the year so far has been testing and can't even pay. You couldn't have paid until like 3 weeks ago or something like that. So it's interesting now to see people go through. I turned on, like, you can actually just sign up and do a trial and start paying and self-service the whole thing versus, like, needing to go through like a demo cycle or something like that. And It's weird to see people, you know, see a company sign up, watch them try stuff out, and then sometimes I'll reach out and be like, hey, let me know how I can help, and like they just don't respond, or it's weird. You kind of feel like a bystander.
Yeah, I can imagine that being odd. How's the development? It's like, are you still, like, crushing bugs left, right, and center, or is it
a few days off because I'm
settled a bit,
a little sick, a little more tired. I just taking too much, like, not too much, but the right amount, the appropriate amount of, like, sick, you know, DayQuil, NyQuil stuff. And I was a little space casey this week, just, like, felt like I was, like, floating around.
What are you taking?
Trying to stay. It's called, you know, like,
I don't know. That was an unfamiliar brand name. Whatever you just flashed,
kind of something like this.
DayQuil. DayQuil.
That's like a big brand name, but it's phenylephrine and dextromorphine. Morphine. Taking morphine.
Oh, great. Looks like mouthwash.
Yeah, it's great.
Mm-mm.
It's for headaches, fever, sore throat, nasal congestion. You gotta have something you take when you're sick, all right? Like, helps your sinuses and headaches. And
yeah, raw garlic and ginger, man. What do you? What's my equivalent? Cold and flu tablets with a bit of pseudoephedrine, bit of speed. You know.
Yeah, it's probably what I'm gonna see. What is the Australian equivalent to DayQuil?
So be good.
They make DayQuil in Australia for Australia.
Okay. I'll try some next time I go to Flu.
I mean, it's helpful.
Justin Juice, I'll call it.
It might be called Codril Day and Night.
Oh yeah, I've heard that.
Codril. Anyway, so I've been a little lazy or just not doing my night shift. Fixed a couple bugs. I did add some pretty interesting features this week, though. Let's look at my list. I've been meaning to send out a log list of updates somewhere, and I just haven't made a place for it. So I'm just keeping this long list in my notes. Oh, you can merge locations this week. That's.
Oh, I see.
One of my updates. I added so you could have QuickBooks importing. For contacts and businesses a little more easily. And we now have a webhook so that you can connect to Zapier for when somebody accepts a quote, you can have that webhook fire and you could send that to Xero or QuickBooks, all the stuff inside the quote.
Yeah, nice.
It's the easy way to make it connect is a webhook.
So why am I not getting weekly feature update emails?
That's trying to get me
on the hook, hey?
Yeah, need an agent. I did one, and I was I'm going to do these every week. And then I've been making this list that says literally AirShop changes after February 5th, and I haven't sent another one since then.
All right. Oh, that's something for you to do, hey?
Yeah.
Just add it to the list. Has Cursor reached out to you privately saying, are you okay? I've noticed your token usage has dropped. Is everything okay at home?
You need some more drugs over there? Some Cursor drugs? No.
No.
Surprisingly.
Yeah.
Got some fun stuff. You've got Cursor content. What's your Cursor content?
I have caught up on my inbox. Can't remember. I'd have to go back through the transcripts of this show to work out when I last caught up on my inbox, because I remember talking about it here, but I don't know when that was.
Let's see what my agent says.
My little Cursor life to-do management environment is working well for me, managing my to-do lists and leads and emails straight out of the Cursor with a Gmail MCP. And it's, finally caught up. It feels good. It's about 10 emails in there at the moment for me to action. 9 emails for me to action on Monday when I'm back at work. But yeah.
Right. Oh, I got a good one to ask you. Related.
But I've also, because I've got the Airtable connection in.
Yes.
Cursor, which I don't use that much, but it's super handy when I do. So for instance, one example of that workflow, which is working nicely, is I'm about 2 weeks off doing product price rises across the board, and part of that will be trying to work out how to integrate FedEx's new rates, which have gone up a bit, and the way we integrate some of the shipping cost into product pricing is a bit kooky and convoluted, and so I've got
live, right? So you can't get live FedEx pricing.
No, I mean it is, so the customer, I've turned that off on the website at the moment because we had a threshold where they would get free shipping over $1,000 anyway, and then we had a few bugs, and so I just turned it off completely. So everyone's getting free shipping at the moment, which means we're getting high volume of small orders. And so what I'm getting every week when our FedEx bill comes in, I take that CSV, dump it into Cursor and say, hey, analyze this and update the records in Airtable so that now I've got this kind of rolling list of jobs, which if I pull up the view in Airtable, it's called shipping costs something something analysis, and I can see the last month of jobs that have been sent out via FedEx and then the percentage of value that cost to ship it.
Oh.
So if it was at $1,000 order and it cost $100 to ship, then my Cursor agent will automatically populate that field with a 10% value when the bill comes in. So I'm tracking that as part of sort of preemptively to then sort of adjust some of my product pricing in the next couple of weeks. So it's kind of nice, yeah, having that connection. And it means I can use Cursor to put together a bit of a game plan for the pricing updates of like, cool, these materials have gone up, these shipping rates have changed, these are all the SKUs that are active in Shopify. I tried plugging in a Shopify MCP, but I'm confused about, there's like, looks like there's three or four different Shopify MCPs, like official ones that do different things. And I don't know which one to use. Yeah. Or just, available through Cursor. Yep.
Yeah, I'm not using any of that stuff in Cursor, but I had asked the AI boys to add a MCP for Shopify, and they did, and then it's still messed up where it like is only connected to the Sim Theory store. Oh. You can't like make it connect to your own store.
Right, yeah.
It hasn't been fixed. So I would really love that though, because I feel like I have found a lot of utility out of that stupid Sidekick thing in that little AI tool. I do a lot of like gimme analysis or like project when I'll run out of this tool or this product, or compare this time last year, or like what's the best selling. And it's like so much easier to do that than like make a chart on your own.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's good, that stuff.
So I would love that combined with other agents or like other systems, right, where you're like can put it in a different context.
Yeah, so there is one Shopify MCP connected in this environment at the moment, but I don't understand what any of these tools do. So I think it's more pro Shopify development stuff, not just like SKU management and pricing management. But I think that's a different, I've installed the wrong one, obviously.
Right.
I'll rectify that. Yeah. The other thing I've done this week is drafted another configuration tool for our other product line, which was always the plan. So taken Laura's shelves. So Laura did a structural redesign of her shelving system late last year to make it more modular, and rethought all the dimensions to make it nest more material efficient, make the system more modular. And Johnny, our machinist, has done some testing of that recently and confirmed that the dimensions are good from a machining nesting perspective. And then so kind of got the thumbs up there. And so this week I was like, right, I guess it's time to build another thingy. So it's still pretty rough and ready, but I've drafted another like drag and drop style builder for that.
Oh, I'm playing with it right now.
Oh, you're in it. Chic. So yeah,
I was really confused at first because I missed that it said shelves, and I was like, how do I add the caps and feet?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not, I mean, it's nice. I'd say my only like user interface is the mirrored shadow below the floor line is a little confusing to me, but it's not too much, a big, it's just a little too shadowy, or like you need to make it blurred or something. Otherwise, it's great. It's like very easy to use. It shows you the space between each shelf.
Yeah.
You just have to convert that to inches to know what it is, but fine.
We don't sell to inch people. It's okay. Dirty inch people.
Title.
Eric at Stavin, who's getting the PS2, and I had a very confused conversation. I think we were both tired the other night texting each other about tooling diameters, both trying to convert between millimeters and inches mid-conversation, and ended up with our wires very crossed. I was like, stop. I think we're both talking about different things.
You know those like tools that are like built in, supposedly that are help translate, like I think FaceTime has this now. They should make one that like helps you translate like imperial metric, like on the fly in text messages.
Yeah.
That'd be great. The dumb American translator.
The people are enjoying your YouTube song publications.
I saw that. It's great. We got
a text in the Multicam Operators Australia WhatsApp group that Richard Blackwell and I formed a couple of years ago, got a message from someone yesterday saying that they had your song stuck in their head, and I hadn't, didn't even realize you'd made the song, which was amazing.
It's pretty decent. Yeah, it's a good one. I don't know if it's a top five, but I love the first line of it. It kind of sounds like a joke on like shitting your pants, like a shit my shelves. Yeah, those have been, people have been listening to the playlist, man. It's got kind of continuous listening, the music playlist, and like people come back to it. And I don't know if we've been getting people that, it has like the most comments out of any collection of things we have on YouTube. Like there's one 11 minutes ago from Dave Falavolita. Hell yeah. Smiley face.
Excellent. Good.
This one I think it might have been a typo. So I'm so machining nerd. This is my favorite playlist ever. Haha.
Excellent. They are wonderfully nerdy. I do like enjoy them.
They are. Mm-hmm. It still surprises me.
Is it, back to your new staff member in Airshop for a second. Has it, I assume they're going to be in deep in the Airshop ecosystem. Because that's how you run these days.
It's a little interesting. Well, it is not, if I've misled. We run inventory solely from there.
Yeah.
In terms of like ordering and stuff. Quoting, we're still in a transition. And some of that's because of finishing features. And you can use quotes in Airshop. I'm used to a very extensive system in Quotient that I had. And so I'm still finishing up some of those features to be able to move some of it over. So it's like kind of basic stuff. Like I don't currently have a way to put in non-price items into the quote, like terms or descriptions of things. And so I just need to finish. I have like a whole thing built around that that is half finished and gets interrupted by like, oh, there's a bug, you know, and then, or some other small feature. So, it is a little confusing to onboard people and go, well, here's the old system that we're still using, but here's what we're going to use, which is a different company. and taking it well, and it's just, you know, I was hiring for a skill set and a personality, and it's kind of my intention, and I think we got a great person for that. And so that I don't know CNC industry or like even honestly like quoting and stuff, but very good so far at like helping with communication. And I think that's all trainable. So it's, we're just working on being productive this week and then starting into kind of studying old quotes. And so right now they're working on making, like we've kind of been in the background making Kanban cards as we need them and bin labels and stuff. And you can now make like location tags, which look like Kanban cards, except for they're to like put on a pallet rack. So I think that's what they've been working on, or what they're working on right now. And just honestly, it's like wayfinding and like learning their way around the shop where things are. I thought that would be kind of a good experience to like have to make things and learn where that is.
Yep. Yeah, nice.
But it will be interesting to see their reaction to, you know, you kind of get the like, hopefully not just nice, like, oh yeah, this is much better than what you had before, but like actual feedback from like a new person to it.
Yeah.
On that note, I'm always super aware of this as I hire somebody, and I've had the one experience of hiring somebody in the office before. I find it like very challenging to, I just find it challenging to delegate in general. Like, I feel like part of it's maybe like just like holding things too close or not thinking that it's possible. I was talking to Ricky as like remembering that I thought it was really hard to delegate or give the task of like shipping things at one point, which is just mind blowing to me now. Like, I don't even, half the time I'm asking him how to do it if I fill in. But there's just so many like little things that I feel like are really hard to hand off. I guess I just don't know how else to say it. Like, I feel like I suck at delegating. Like, it's just so unnatural. And I was trying to think of, like, is there like a book about this that I can read that like helps me think about how to delegate? I got some bad suggestions from an AI, but somebody has some thoughts.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's such a classic, like, you know, solo operator, small business thing. Certainly something that I have struggled with and still struggle with in many senses. Like recently with the robots at one of our weekly team meetings, Ben was like, right, are you going to teach us how to run stuff on these? I was like, no, they're mine.
No, that's mine. These are my toys.
My touch, not touchy. And my excuse at the time was like, I just haven't, you know, haven't refined the programs to a point where I'm like, they feel robust enough to hand over. Like, yep, there's so many little things I still want to do, blah, 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 like making excuses, basically. And since then, I just gave a bunch of them to Ben and was like, cool, this is how you do it. These are the known issues with it. These are the things to be wary of. But
here's the stop.
And he's been happily running it pretty successfully. He's only broken the end effector twice. We've 3D printed it again, and, you know, it's good learning. It's the learning he has to go through, I guess. You know, I've crashed them, Johnny's crashed them, now Ben's crashed them. So, like, that's okay. And that's why we're 3D printing end effectors.
Right. Need one on the shelf.
Yeah. Yeah, need to do that. Haven't got ahead with the print just yet. Laura stacked the bamboo hard last night. Like, I got in when I came back in to get some work done, and it was just like a spaghetti monster that it hadn't detected, and it had melted a huge clump of PLA around the print head. And I thought, hot end stuffed. We're going to have to replace it. And I popped it off. It looks bent. Have you ever actually bent the hot end? Is that even possible? Like the little rust nozzle.
On a pretty narrow shaft at some point, right?
Yeah.
Like after it's got the. So probably, I mean,
it looks off, I would say, axis.
Like usually when we get to a place where like things seem weird, I'm like, replace it. Just swap that baby out.
Well, that's what I thought was going to have to happen. And then just out of curiosity, I just cleared it and hit print again just to see if it would clear the jam because it felt jammed up. And then I totally forgot about it and went to bed. And then this morning making coffee, I was like, oh shit, the printer's running. Ran out there and like it's successfully printed. It's done like a
good job.
It's done an 8-hour print happily. So I don't know. Probably still needs replacing. But
the one at my house, I've had this situation where like it's slowly degrading. It like thinks that it actually resolved, but it like said that the flashcard wasn't formatted, which had been in use since I got it. So I was like, well, is it corrupting? And so then that was kind of fine. I tried to reset it, turn it off and on. Didn't seem to work. And I was like, well, I don't know. Basically, I like start a print before I leave for work and like start one when I get home. Sometimes in the evening, like after, if I'll come out in the night and like change it out. And I just like don't pay attention to it. I just keep it running. And sometimes on the weekends, little prototypes. And then it progressed to it was telling me that the nozzle didn't match what the print file was. And I was like, neither of those have ever changed on this printer. Like, I've swapped them out, but it's still the same. You are crazy. And so then I think it somehow got turned off because it's on a Wi-Fi switch, which was weird too. And it was off for a while and I turned it back on. It's fine. All those warnings went away. I don't know.
Your printer is hallucinating.
Yes, it's got AI in it the whole time.
Well, it was a little bit satisfying, I must admit, when the printer went down last night because Laura, like 24 hours ago, Laura was giving me shit for having impulsively bought an A1 mini and ordered one of the mini printers for home. She's like, why did you buy another printer? I was like, well, it's cheap contingency.
I get that all the time.
If your precious X1C goes down and we need to print something for a job, which is legit, it's cheap contingency and I want to print stuff at home on weekends. It's like, yep. And they're so cheap. And then, you know, 24 hours later, her printer goes down on her project that she desperately needs to print. I was like, oh, see?
And you're like, you can't
see?
You can't use it. You didn't believe in it. I will say, after ours is still being completely unused underneath a shipping desk, and I walk up to the shipping desk and I go, ah, oh, that printer's still down there.
Oh, you've got a mini.
I was going to do the bed swapping.
That's right.
No, we got an A1. I would say A1. That
okay.
While they're a little bit more costly, they are the same bed size as the X1. This is their biggest perk.
Oh.
And they're double. So you don't lose any space, and they can use a... I was actually looking at an enclosure for it the other day, because we were always thinking, like, oh, we'll make one. We're not going to make one. So you can buy these, like, Amazon tent-style ones, and I don't want that. I want, like, something just a step above that, but haven't found one that's, like, not either $500 or a tent that you have to zip up. So it continues to sit and not do anything.
Part of the reason I bought the A1 Mini it was very cheap, but also I realized as I was buying filament and then getting distracted and buying printers that the entire PS2 that Rodia's finished was made on an A1 Mini. And I was like, damn, that's cool.
Yeah.
All the parts from this new machine that Rodia's spent a year designing.
Like their own? They had one?
Yeah. She's printed on her own machine. I was like, that's awesome. What a cool little thing.
Right.
I want one at home.
Yeah. I've continually go back and forth, like, should I bring it back to work? I think Ricky would put it to better use than it being here. Mm. And then somewhere between, like, being lazy to throw it in the car and, like, just, like, then I go, oh, no, this weekend I'm going to print.
Yes.
Yeah. And then maybe I do that, maybe I don't. I do often, which maybe this is a bad thing, but I do often, like, if we get some decent-sized order of, like, I was going to say pedestals, tool tag towers on, like, a Friday or, like, a Saturday, I'll start printing them at home. It's just like, might as well get ahead on this. And then I'll come in on Monday and be like, Ricky, look what I have. And it's like, most of them are done.
Nice. I got my robot technician arriving in 5 minutes, just a heads up.
Oh.
I can keep chatting, but he'll bust in the door, wondering what I'm doing, talking to such a handsome capped man at
Right. New employee was like, I was like, so I do this podcast, you know, I think for both of our sake, probably don't want to be in here sitting next to me. So maybe go work with Ricky, you know, and they're like, well, I could just sit over here and like, I've got a little cough and just cough every once in a while. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of like, you know, I think the fad right now is like having laughers in the distance in the background. Like maybe we could just have maybe it'd make the show better. Just laugh a little bit, even if it's not funny.
So yeah, robot got a 2-day service call on the robots at the moment, racking up some expensive service time, but hopefully worth it. Hopefully,
yeah,
super super nice tech. They specialize in keeping ABBs in service in industry, so very much up their alley. He's doing oil change on all the six joints. So there's six gearboxes, which all have independent oil levels that need checking and changing, and times three robots, that's 18 oil changes. And yeah,
did you get an estimate at all, or is it just
I did I got an estimate, and he sent me he also sent me a price list for spare parts, which I like. Thankfully, he had pre-warned me. He was like, I'm going to email you this price list. Make sure you're sitting down and don't freak out, because we don't need all these things. I'm just giving you a heads up. Like, if it needs a power supply, because of that warning that we saw in the logs, like, that's a $4,000 power supply. Gosh. So, hey.
Is it because they don't make them anymore and they're expensive, or just because they're just expensive?
It's just because it's ABB. I guess, yeah.
I see.
And there's like a crazy number. Chatting to him yesterday, we're talking about how weird it is. Like, there's so many different versions of these manipulators and their control cabinets. Like, there's just a ridiculous number of variants, and like tiny variations between them. I don't understand why they're such flexible machines. Why make like 80 variants of the same thing?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Toyota wanted it.
Yeah, exactly. This department in Toyota wanted a very specific thing. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know.
They probably have Fanuc, I would assume, now that I think about it. But
don't know. He's just rolled in. So, yeah.
Need to go.
May as well. Anything else on your list? Orange Man?
No.
Love that hat.
Any products.
Tasty Thanks. Hair.
Design weird clothing for myself.
Yeah. Love it.
What did I say?
What happens if I scan your QR code?
Do it.
Where's it going?
I'm going to reorder something for me.
Yeah, got it. Airshop, sign up, free trial. Yeah, you are a walking billboard. It's awesome.
You just ordered a set of screwdrivers, actually.
Oops.
Bills to your account.
As long as they're Vera, I'm happy.
Vera.
Vera.
Okay.
Okay, bye. Have a good day.
Okay.
Boop. Oh. Ding, ding. Texting about tooling again, trying to convert, but I don't know when. 0.25 became a quarter inch. Both of us tire wires getting pinched. You say 64ths, I say 0.6. Nothing's adding up in this metric mix. Millimeters, we don't sell to inch people. Millimeters, keep your fractions to yourself. Millimeters, decimal and simple. Millimeters, put those 30 seconds on the shelf. We don't sell to inch people, daddy. We don't sell to inch people. Dowell diameters lost in translation. 3 a.m. Calculator confusion it brings. Millimeter.